We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's spend a couple of minutes with the Net head coach, Kenny Atkinson, who joins us now. Kenny, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. How's your offseason going, Kenny?
Going well. I think, started off with the draft last night, happy with our two picks and, excited about free agency. And, again, Mike, I think we're about, developing our young players. So it's a big off season for us, just improving our players internally.
Well, I know that's what you are heralded for. I mean, there's a lot of people who feel you guys are extremely good at doing that. And obviously you have a ways to go, but I know you like the challenge of developing these guys. First off, we can't talk about the guys down the road, even Howard, so we'll pass on that. I know that we're not allowed until after the July, but how about two guys like this who we know so little about? Let's start with your first round pick with Musa. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Mike, I 6'9", versatile, really can do a lot of things. I'd say first and foremost, he's a scorer.
Right.
He can create two in the pick and roll. And Mike, I think what the fans will like about him, he's got an edge to him. He's got personality. Mike, these guys that are playing at 18 years old in these men's professional leagues, over in Europe,
right. They grow up fast, right?
They grow up fast. I think that's a model that we look at and we respect. So, with both of these guys, they've both played in tough leagues and to be able to succeed at that age. But we like, again,
he's kind of a forceful scorer, right? He's kind of an aggressive scorer, right?
Aggressive scorer, drives it to the, he's not just a jump shooter, he drives it to the rim. He can play pick and roll, he can get downhill. So, we're thrilled about him. I think his body's got to get better. There's no doubt about it. When you see him, you're like, man, this guy's got to get stronger. So we got to get him in the weight room. We got to get him stronger.
Let me ask you about this, Kenny. When you're dealing with a foreign player, do you feel that, first of all, do you get every foreign player in that you want to get in just like every other player, or is that a harder process? Do you get any of them in? How does it work with the foreign players?
No, I think it's a little more complicated because sometimes you got guys still playing in their leagues,
right? Like did you have this kid in or no?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so you had him in. Okay, do you feel you know as much about one of those guys over there as you do about a collegian when you make a decision?
Yeah, Mike, because we have such a presence over there, and it's such a big part of the NBA. As you know, like every year, the foreign crop just grows bigger.
It sure does. Yeah,
percentage of the league. It's just where it's going. So we are loaded with scouts over there. I mean, we've seen these guys so many times. So I think it used to be skewed toward more about the American guys, but now I think it's pretty equal. We see these guys just as much.
Okay, so you feel you're not at a disadvantage anymore with these guys, right? I mean, I've always felt the teams maybe still were. Is there anything about them that you feel is a tougher transition for them? Do they have, forget language, you just mentioned conditioning. Is their conditioning not as good? What is it? What transition do they have to make that the kid who's here doesn't have to make?
I think the weight room's the big one. I think, I think they're more of a, focused on running conditioning and aerobic condition. I think the strength part is usually the part where they're weakest. So, that's been my experience with the international players.
Talking with Kenny Anderson and that coach, how about the kid on the second round?
Yeah. I was thinking of a comp.
Now, how do you pronounce his first name?
Kurich.
But first name is what? Rodians?
Yeah, we're going to call him Roddy.
Roddy Kurich. Okay. Roddy Kurich. Okay.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. We've already figured that one out. But, I would say almost like a Mike Dunleavy type.
Okay.
6'9", perimeter player that can shoot it. You know, he can put it on the floor a little bit. What I like about him, he could definitely play some four, but also can slide to the 3-2. And Mike, I think you see a constant theme here. You know, where
it's all the same. It's amazing.
Yeah,
everybody's got to be able to shoot it, and everybody's got to be able to step out and make the three, and everybody's got to play multiple positions.
Mike, I listen to your show, and I'm just because across all sports, and I've heard you talk about this. The game has changed, and it's changing fast, and I can't believe it. My
versatility in your sport is unbelievable now.
It's
these kids, you bring a kid in, you want them to be able to play sometimes three positions.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I compare it to football, even the spread offenses, football. Now we're all spread out, right? It used to be a post-up game.
Yep.
And now everybody's five out, and speed and versatility are the real buzzwords now. So it's really a kind of a revolution of what's happening.
No question. I mean, look at Villanova clearly took a page from Golden State. I mean, they clearly went and got guys who could all make threes. Every one of their guys could step out and make a three.
He shot the heck out of it.
They did.
I mean, and Jay did a great job. You know, they drove the ball, and the way they shot, they just shot the ball better than other teams.
They did.
That's what, at the end of the day, that's what Golden State does. Like they can make shots, they can make contested threes, and it's really the difference.
And they're going to have a run where they're going to get a couple of turnovers, and they're going to get 12, 14, 15 straight points.
No doubt about it. That's kind of where it is, and it's. It's funny you make that comparison because I have been watching some Villanova games because they had some guys in the draft.
Well, look at Spellman. Look what he became. Look what Spellman became. I mean, he was a kid that if you saw him early in the year, he wasn't the same kid he was at the end of the year. You know,
it's really amazing. And like I said, where was it? Imagine Patrick Ewing standing out at the top.
Oh my God!
In the corner. I think
Dave DeBuscher.
How
about Dave DeBuscher or Jerry Lucas? Jerry Lucas would have made so many threes. It would have turned you upside down. He could make threes all day. All day he could have sat out there and made threes.
Mike, I would say this. I do think you're going to see with all the switching now, I think you saw the switch-heavy defenses in the NBA, you're going to have to go punish teams in the post. And I think you're going to see, maybe the negative side, you're going to see a little more one-on-one basketball again.
Right.
But you're going to be able to, you're going to have to drive the mismatch. Or I think, you're going to have to roll down there in the post if you're a big and punish that little guy. So I do think the post game will come back. I you know how these things are cyclical. So I think we could see that in the future.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Kenny, because how well did Golden State do that in with McGee? I mean, McGee went in there. He made every shot he took in the playoffs. He went in there in the finals. He killed them. And even Livingston, those guys went inside and they killed them in there.
Yeah, I think you have to exploit that mismatch. If you don't exploit it, then it worked. Their defense worked against you, and they forced a bad shot. So I know in our program, we're kind of looking like, what's the next thing? Like, okay, everybody's going to switch against us. We better be able to be a bigger guy that can drop a jump hook in over a little guy or back him down and dunk on him. And of course, the other part of that is your little guys better be able to drive those big guys, the Kevin Loves. You better be able to speed dribble, go by there and collapse the defense.
Drive and kick, right? I mean, that's what you want to do. And so you think there'll be more post-up game where there'll be more guys that'll just take guys down in mismatches and beat them down in the low box and score over guys.
And I know the analytics say, listen, post-ups are bad, but I do think in a mismatch it's different. It's going to be different because, if you're 6'11 and you got a 6'2 guy on it, it's not as hard a shot, right? That little guy can't push you out as far. You should be able to get him deep and punish him. Listen, Mike, I could be wrong, where it's going. I do think, for the fans and everybody out there, I do think that is a piece that could come back with all the switching.
In the three-point game, and you want to turn someone into a weapon on the three-point line, all these, players who are twos and threes and fours who might be 6'6 and 6'7 and 6'5 and 6'9, what's the hardest part of the three game to teach them? Is it harder for them to become good catch-and-shoot guys? Is it harder for them? I know some of them won't be able to get them off the dribble, but, I mean, what is the hardest part of the three game to teach a guy as you're building up these players?
Yeah, Mike, I think you hit the first one. Like, you better be able to knock it down. Like, you better be able to knock it down at a high rate. And at our level, I think the lead NBA level, I think that's, you know, even contested. You got to, you know, you look at Golden State and the shots they make. You're like, no way. And I know that's, you know, exceptional, but, you know, that's the truth. I also think, you know, with five out, your spacing better be right. You know, you better have right. The proper spacing where you can create that split second you need to get off an open three. And I think the last thing, Mike, I think what people don't realize, everybody thinks about three, but really with the three ball, it sets up your drive game, right? Like now you're what we say, you know, it's a closeout game. We want to get guys in closeouts now, and then we want to get to the rim at the end of the day. That's the highest value shot of all. You know, being able to shoot that three, getting a guy in a, you know, sprinting out at you and being able to drive by him, blow by him and you know, get a dunk, layup or foul. That's really what you want.
And also, how much time do you spend, we're talking about Kenny Atkinson, the Nets, of course, on pick and roll defense? I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. Why do you guys, I mean, what I see is teams have got to stop switching everything.
You think they should stop switching?
I think they do because they create these terrible mismatches.
Yeah, it's. Listen, I think if you have the personnel, like,
I mean, if you got Curry out there, you don't want to switch into Curry. You don't want to switch into Love and get beat every time.
Fair argument. Fair. We have that discussion with our staff all the time. How much do we want to switch next year? Like with our roster, you know, we don't.
Now, if you've got a bunch of interchangeable guys who are all the same size, it doesn't really matter, right? But if you got a vulnerable guy, they'll wait till they get the matchup they want.
Listen, Mike. We're not a switch team. We're a conservative. We drop our big way back. We gave up the least amount of threes in the league, which I'm proud of. You know, analytically, our effective field goal percentage was really good. Now we fouled too much and we didn't rebound, so that we got to clean that up. But we did not switch nearly as much. But as a coach, you're looking at, well, what are the best teams doing? And you have to look at that too. Like, where is the league going? But it also has to fit your personnel, as you know, Mike.
Absolutely.
You try to do something that
it still helps if you have a rim protector, obviously.
Yeah
it really does.
Mike, we got one in Jared Allen. I am so thrilled about this kid. Like, he's like a 7 foot. He's the modern day, you know, the Clint Capellas, the Gobert.
Yep.
Like, I think he's in that mode. I don't want to put too much hype on him. He started for us at 19. Like, he's going to be. He sprints like a deer. He can block shots. He's just got to get a little bit stronger.
A little more weight on him, maybe, you know?
Yeah, he's a humble guy with no ego, but he's got a lot of pride, if that makes sense.
Well, that does make sense. How about D'Angelo? What do you feel about what you got out of him last year?
Mike, he's developing. I mean, he's a talented guy. I mean, his floor vision. Like, I don't think people realize how big he is. Like, he's 6'4" and a half, you know. Like, see, he's a big guard. He's a long guard. He's got great vision. Listen, I think his development piece, Mike, is going to be his body. You know, can he keep improving physically? Can he get stronger, improve his body? That's going to be his and improve his defense. And I do think his defense improved as it went on. But he's a talented guy, Mike, and he's. You know, he's a 21-year-old guy. Like, he's got a lot of room to grow, and we're thrilled. We're thrilled to have him.
You know, you're known to develop guys. We know what you guys put guys through. We're talking with Kenny Anderson. Kenny Atkinson, do you, when you deal with a guy like the foreign guys you brought in, can you get a feel that early? On or do you rely on your scouts and the people who know these guys? Because a big thing is, can you coach that guy? Can you get out of that guy what you want to get out of that guy? Can you push that guy? Can you get that feeling from a guy that is, you know, from halfway around the world? Can you get a good feel or a good, you know, something you can rely on about what kind of guy this is going to be for you to coach?
Mike, I think you'll appreciate this. I always say this. The first part of development is picking the right horse.
Right. Absolutely. you got to have guys you can coach. I mean, that's what Parcells always used to say. Is he said he always asked the same question to whoever recommended the player. Can I coach this player? That was always the first thing, because if he didn't want a guy, he didn't think he could push.
And do they want to be coached? Are they going to accept coaching? And the guys that don't develop, you know, you can't get through to them. You can't, and those guys they don't end up developing. But
can you get that yourself out of these guys? Even these foreign guys, can you get a good feel for those guys?
Like, this is where you have to have a modern sports organization, pro organization. You have to have great collaboration between, you know, management, scouting, and coaching. Because we're, you know, during the season, we're not watching, you know, the Serbian league or the Spanish league. So we really rely on our scouting team to come up with these answers. You know, is a guy coachable? Is he, you know, how tough is he? How is he competitive? So we have standards. We talk about it. We get, you know, the intel reports are like there's stacks and stacks of intel reports on our office. Just trying to figure out who these guys are. And at the end of the day, yeah, we need guys that are coachable. And, you know, I think these guys are. But listen, you never know until you get them in your gym. I mean, that's just, it doesn't matter who you draft.
And in this league right now, I mean, it's almost like everyone, if looking at it last night, how many players of the same ilk get drafted? It's amazing the things you want out of these guys. Everybody's looking for the same exact prototype player. It's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, it's really pigeonholed the attributes these guys have. I mean, you want guys with long arms. If you don't have long arms, you get upset if they don't have. I mean, if I hear a guy's got short arms now, everybody goes crazy. You know, they want guys who have the big wingspan. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I think people follow trends of the best. Look, what are the best teams doing? And they follow that. But, you know, I think the next thing is, what's the next thing? Where's my competitive advantage? Is it going back to a 7-foot bruiser who can, you know, I know the Spurs tried to do, you know, with Aldridge.
Like trying to be different, yes.
Pop went different. Yeah. Like, we're not going to copy everybody else. We're going to go at them, you know, with two traditional posts and try to beat the nails out of you. So I think it's you got to kind of mold your team towards the talent you have, but there's no doubt about it. Everybody's following this versatile, long, switchable, can play all these positions, that type of model.
Well, it's funny now in this league, you have to have one type of team to beat LeBron James, then you have to have another team if you want to go beat Golden State. I mean, it's a very different situation, you know?
Great point. Because I don't think you can't just play small ball in this league. You got to be able to do.
Because LeBron's going to push you around, and, you know, he's going to beat you up and take you down low and get that mismatch every time, and then kick to his open three guys, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's when the playoffs come. That's where you got to be versatile to be able to go both ways. You got to have your kind of bruising traditional team, and you got to have your quick small ball team.
How do you feel? We're talking with Kenny Atkinson, the Nets coach. Now you got your draft picks. Now you've kind of settled in. How do you feel about now? Do you kind of sense that you now have gotten the level of quality up to a certain level here, Kenny? Can you kind of feel like it's reached the level where it's going to be competitive now, or do you need another year for that to happen?
Listen, my gut, we're trending in the right direction, and I hope that's not a soft answer. I just think we're, you know, we had an 8-game improvement from the first year to the second year. And, you know, I think if we stayed healthy, it could have been 12 to 14. But, you know, that was second best in the East. And you know, we're not having a parade on Flatbush Avenue for that. But, I think we're trending in the right direction. I do think, as you know, you've seen what's going on and the moves per se, but you know, I do think it depends on your roster a little bit, and I do know we're putting out a product. It's a competitive group. So I think once we start the games and we throw out whether we're supposed to be good, not supposed to be good, we're going to compete our tails off. And I just have this sense that the moves we're making, you know, Sean has done a phenomenal job, you know, creating these draft picks out of nowhere, being creative and strategic and building this team. So I just have this gut feeling that we have a good thing going on, and I'm just anxious. Like, you know, I want it to happen soon, but I also think there's just a timeline with it where we have to be patient. And like, ownership has been not good, like, and it's been fantastic in terms of understanding the patience you need in the situation we're in to understand where we're going.
Do you like where the game is now? Do you know, you see this game, how, you know, we go into a playoff game, we can see 65, 73s in a playoff game. We see the game played such a different way right now. Do you like the way the game is played right now? Do you like where the game has evolved?
Listen, I go back and forth because I love the glory days of the NBA. I'm such an NBA fan, and you know, from the old Knicks teams to the Jason Kidd's Nets team, I just love that. You know, I love that, and it's a great era. But I think for this, you know, for right now, it's fan. I think what the NBA has done is, you know, loosening up the game, loosen up the rules a little more. You know, getting rid of the hand checking. It's a much more free flowing game. I think the ratings prove it out, and the growth of the NBA. Like, this is, the fans like it, and I enjoy it, Mike. I really do. The speed of the game is just, it's incredible how much it's increased, the pace of the game. So I think it's a product the fans like. I know that there's some nostalgia there of, hey, we got to go back to the old way, but it's moving in the other direction, and I think I like it, and I think the fans like it.
Do you, if you could, what's the heart now? Forget the, you know, if you're lucky enough to get a LeBron or a Durant or, you know, or coach someone like that, you know, you're in great shape. But if you can have your druthers, what position is the hardest to fill with a quality player right now? What's the one where, if you get him, you just got to grab him and hold on to him? A two-way player or a really quality player, which position?
Yeah, I think the point guard right now is, it's like a quarterback.
In that's NFL. What I figured you'd say.
I think that position's so important. And listen, now point guard turns into, well, teams are starting to figure out, wait a second, we're going to put our best player at point guard. We're going to put James Harden at point guard.
Well, because you get the mismatches there, too. You know, you let him control the whole game up there.
Exactly, you know, and that's just, you know, LeBron, when push comes to shove, LeBron's the point guard.
He is. He's going to control the whole game at the elbow. He's just going to, everything's going to be right there.
But Mike, you remember when the Bulls were at the end of that, you know, Jordan, you know, they really didn't, they, you know, Michael was, you know, the guy with the ball.
They gave him the ball, and then if they ran a double or triple at him, he'd hit one of the guys, B.J. Armstrong or Paxson or Kerr or somebody with the ball.
Yep. So the game has changed, but it didn't change that much.
No, it really, you know, in the end, last seconds it hasn't, but, you know, but it's amazing how much it is when you watch, say, on the highest level, where you watch the finals, and maybe a lot of that is the presence of LeBron, Mike, but every play is just to set up to get the mismatch. I mean, every single play is set up to get the mismatch off the pick and roll.
Yeah, and I thought that was I think there was some pushback from you know, fans. I don't know if everybody loved that, but listen, I think coaches are kind of one step. I'm not sure. We're all trying to figure out, well, how can we do it differently? You know, it's
right.
Especially if you don't have the mismatch, we're gonna have to do it with slips and deception and ball movement. Like a, you know, a team like us, who maybe we're not, you know, equipped. You know, you don't have a LeBron. We have to do it in different ways. So it's not every team, and I know the playoffs are like that. You know, we could go back and forth whether we like it, but it, you know, it's like back in the day, it's like, hey, give it to, you know, Karl Malone in the post, give it to Jordan, you know, at the elbow, make a play.
We're talking with Kenny Atkinson about his Nets and his players this year. So was this a good draft as you looked and where you were selecting? Obviously you were down a little bit, but did you think there was a lot of quality in this draft?
Yeah, but it's funny, Mike, when we are, you know, picking where we pick 29,
yep.
Like my, you know, 99% of my focus was on the group that's around the 29th pick.
Right. Somebody sliding down, you know, if, you know, we're hoping somebody slid down a long way, right?
Yeah. So the Doncic, I wish I could give you like a scouting report on those guys. I just didn't spend enough time.
Gotcha.
And, you know, during the season, I don't really watch college basketball. I was. You know, Dallas, to be as aggressive as they were, you know, going to get Doncic, I thought that was very interesting.
Is he as good as they're making him out to be?
Listen, I don't know. Like, I'm not educated enough on his game.
Right.
I just think a guy that's 18 and you're MVP of the European. That's despite what Charles Barkley says. That's you know, pretty good. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And you know, for Dallas to make that aggressive move, I think is impressive. And you know, the Trae Young thing to Atlanta. You know, they're saying, man, could this guy be, you know,
Curry,
that might be
a stretch. That might be a stretch. You know,
yeah,
that's a unique player. That's a very unique player. You know,
I know. You have to be careful. You know,
yes, because his ball handling is insane. That kid. You know that.
Yeah.
Curry, and he's bigger than people think. He rebounds well too.
You just said it, Mike. I think people don't realize how big and strong he is.
Yeah, he mixes it up pretty good. He won't play any D, but I tell you, he does rebound really well. He really, yep. and he's a good passer, but he's a great ball handler.
Totally agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's the best distance shooter I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody ever have the form that he has. This guy, I'd say, is second, and you go back a million years, because I watched Kenny play in high school, folks. I mean, that's how far I go back with him. So is Pistol Pete. Pistol Pete had that kind of form on his jump shot. He really could shoot from that distance.
And I guess, Mike, part of that, and then the creativity, like who has the gumption to take those shots?
Amazing.
Like the mindset to be such a risk taker. Like, you know, all of a sudden it's like when you game plan for Steph Curry, you're like, okay, good. Now, you know, we usually pick up at the 3-point line right above this. Now we got to pick up at half court.
Yeah, he'll take it anywhere. There's no range.
Now you're a big defender. You better be up there too, because if he gets hit on the pick, we need our big. It's
a lot of
change
pressure.
The game.
Yes,
change the game. It's who would have thought we'd be talking about?
Well, I gather your kid Musa. When I read the report on him just before you came on, they say he's a pretty gutty guy. He takes a lot of wild, crazy shots too, and they say he makes them. They say he's a really aggressive guy. He's not afraid to take a long shot himself.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, yes, you know, there has to be a brashness and to be a scorer. You have to have a certain confidence and a certain, and you know, unfortunately for a coach, that means, you know, putting up with some bad shots. So we might have to tone that down.
You know, it's funny. I couldn't believe I heard one of those kids talking, and he still talked about the influence Petrovic is over there. It's amazing that he still is considered. You know, and there's another guy who was one of the great shooters. I mean, and you know, tragic what would happen here, but I mean, he's still a big influence over there.
Yeah, big, you know, big him and Sabonis. Those
yep.
guys are like legends over there. And listen, great NBA player. You know, Petr, when he came on the scene
yep.
here, like, it, man, he didn't back down from anybody.
What a shooter. He really was amazing.
And he was a gritty guy. Like, he stood up to everybody. It was impressive, impressive player.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. Good luck. It looks like you have it, you know, it's a tough undertaking you took, you know, with this team. You had a lot of work to do. Roll up your sleeves. I know you like doing it. I know you like, you know, working hard with these kids and developing them, but it looks like you have things headed in the right direction.
Mike, thank you for having me on. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, growing up, you know, listening to all my brothers, like, it's an honor to be on the show.
Well, my pleasure.
And I
tell people, I watched you play, you know, and, you know, he was on a great team, folks, I watched play in high school. And, you know, he and
great coach,
yeah,
Gus Alfieri,
Tom Hicks, and his team, your team, undersized, playing in that grade eight, I mean, against the teams from everywhere, Mount Vernon and all over the place and everything. And your team was the smartest, scrappiest team I ever saw. They were unbelievable. You, Hicks, all you guys were an amazing team to watch. What a great team you had.
Great, great coach. And listen, Mike, I do want to say, you know, just to be you're kind of accepted in the New York sports community as a coach. If you've been on your show? So,
well, anytime.
We've got a
you
long,
know that.
Long way to go, and I hope we can come back and you know, down the road and be like, man, you guys are really good.
Well, I hope that's the case. Thanks,
okay.
Kenny. Thank you.
Great, Mike. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kenny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.